Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Hello and a beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounts. Say that this tape I'm playing today was taped back in 2001, but I love the tape. I love the songs that we'll be singing, and names that you hear on this will be people who have passed on, but anyhow, we want to recognize these people, friends of ours who have passed on. But I hope you enjoy the broadcast today. I just thought I'd tell you, this is a tape that was taped back in 2001, so you just sit back and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. I talk about Thanksgiving and all them things. Well, every day is a Thanksgiving. I thank God every day for what He's done for me and what He's going to do for me in the future. Martha's gone, but anyhow, she may be out of sight, but she's not out of mind. So let's go back and listen as we listen to tape back in 2001.
Life is shattered, all your hopes and plans, and the light upon the path you walk is dim. Remember, God still loves you, and He holds you in His hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
Just reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
You know you've searched in all directions, but the way is not safe. It seems that confusion and doubt, they seem to lie on every hand. God will not forsake you. He is your dearest friend, and He tells you, cast your care upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you've had within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Me. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Me.
Well, as I said when we came on, I'm doing a tape here that's was done in 201. And if you hear any names on it or any announcements, then you'll understand it. I love this tape. I've got hundreds of tapes here in the in my studio. If you'd like to have some of them, I'd love for you to write to me, and I'll be more than glad to get them into your home and in your churches, and then you can pass them on and let someone else listen to them. But this tape does go back to 201. That's the year I retired. If I've ever retired, I'm still pastoring two churches, but God has blessed me. So you pray for me as we go back to the broadcast now.
I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. With friends and loved ones we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And there we'll spend all eternity. I know I've never met the man who gave his life for me. Yet his presence daily I can feel. But if by chance you're taken home before it comes my time, please take this message home to him for me. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. With friends and loved ones we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And I will spend all eternity. Although our names are different, we're all purchased by His blood. Through Jesus Christ, we're one big family. So at that big homecoming, when God's children gather there, please search the banquet table there for me. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. With friends and loved ones we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And there we'll spend all eternity. I saw an old man standing by a casket draped in black. For 50 years it's been just you and me. And as the preacher spoke these words, to dust we shall return. I hear that old man speak so tenderly. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. With friends and loved ones we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And there we'll spend all eternity. And there we'll spend all eternity.
Always get that last part, but I never could. And she'd always look over at me and kind of smile a little bit. And she realized that I was getting the age where I couldn't get it. Hey, we've been in this ministry for 60 years, and as long as you're helping us along the way, we're going to continue right on. I know that it gets hard sometimes. I've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes here, and I love to get them into your homes if you like to have them. We're on internet, and Dana and Daryl Olson, they take care of the internet. If you'd like to pull it up, it's stbi.org. You can get all of our sermons, all of our singing, and everybody that speaks about the broadcast speaks highly of it. So I had two or three people this week said they heard it for the first time, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate your prayers and your support. So let's go right back to the broadcast, which was done in 201.
Said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes, and into the city. Bring in the hither, bring in the poor, bring in the maimed, bring in the halt, and bring in the blind. Now the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded me. and yet there is still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways, out into the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men or women that were bidden shall taste of my supper. I'd like to use the thought on this Thanksgiving season, the thought of a Thanksgiving meal being prepared and the invitation being given, and yet listening to all the excuses that are made. You see, on this Thanksgiving season, it's all centered around a great turkey and the dressing and maybe the mashed potatoes and those big cat head biscuits or the rolls, and all these things are being prepared simply because it's Thanksgiving. Family will come together, mom and dad, and a lot of homes are empty of mother, a lot of homes are empty of dad because they no longer are there. But nevertheless, you can remember back when Thanksgiving time was, and the turkey was dressed, and everything was made ready, and all the family was invited. But I want you to look at this morning as simply excuses. You see, excuses is learning how to justify everything. It's been said that our lives are built on excuses. And sure enough, if we don't want to do anything, we just make an excuse. I remember a pastor that visited a home and invited him to church. And the man that met him at the door said, Pastor, we don't like peanut butter. And the pastor said to the man, Well, what's that got to do with going to church? Well, he said, one excuse is just about as good as another. But you see, we always find an excuse. Have you ever heard someone say, Well, the weather's not right. If it's raining, I can't get out. Or if it's snowing or it's cold, then I just can't go. And then some say, Well, I've got company, and they just dropped in just about the time that I got ready to go to the house of God. And then there's some that say, Well, my neighbors, they just crowd me all the time. They're always inviting me to church and always telling me I ought to go to church. And, you know, that just kind of turns me off. No, that just gives you some kind of excuse to keep from going to the house of God. And then there's some that say, Well, you know, it's my clothing. You know, I just can't dress like those folks down there. Now, I believe in being decent. See, I believe in doing all things in decency and order. I think we ought to dress right when we go to the house of God. We ought to look right. We ought to smell right. I think that we ought to be in our most decent order when we go to the house of God. But, sir, ma'am, God don't look at your clothes. Anybody that was sitting in church and look around at what you have on, they need a good trip to the altar, because we don't go to the house of God to be seen. At least that's what we say. But a lot of people only go to see what someone else is wearing, what someone else is looking at, the new hairstyle or their clothing, and that ought not be. But then again, you can't make that kind of excuse. You may not be able to dress like those folks down at that church, and you may not be able to afford the things that they have, but can't use that excuse not to go to the house of God. I never will forget that one time there were two deprived children that was coming to the church. And so they got a committee together and decided, Well, I know that there's an inferiority complex, and they don't feel like all the other little children, so we're going to buy them some new clothes so that they will feel and look like all the other children. So sure enough, they bought new clothes, new shoes, and they gave them to the mother and told them, said, Now next Sunday, let the children wear these things. Well, the following Sunday, the children didn't show up. And that committee said, Well, I wonder what happened to the children. So one of the committeemen was elected to go by the house and find out if there's something wrong. So they knock on the door. The mother comes to the door, and they said, Well, we gave you some clothes, and we gave you shoes, and we felt that your children had an inferiority complex, so therefore we wanted them to look like and be like all the other little children, so we missed them in church. So where were they this morning? And the mother said, Well, I put on those new shoes and that new dress and those new clothes. And I said, Children, you look so good. Why don't you go to the other church that's on down on the corner? So you see, we don't dress just right to go to the house of God. A lot of it is no more than making excuses. Now, take the matter of stealing. You see, the store owner has overcharged. So I'm justified to steal it, are you? Are you justified just because it costs that amount? So therefore, you have an honest right to go in and steal? No. God said, you've even robbed me. How have we robbed you? With our tithes and with our offerings. A young boy one day stole some money from his father's cash register. And when his father caught him for stealing the money, you know what he said? Well, it wasn't really my fault, Dad. You just wouldn't give me no money, so you forced me to have to take it out of the cash register. You see, we've always got an excuse to meet the need. Then there's that profanity. You know, have you ever heard Christians curse? Now, I'd say that a lot of them has been accountable for this. But, you know, we always use that excuse of saying, well, now, I really don't curse, but here is the way I heard it, so I'm going to tell it just like it was heard. But that's just kind of an excuse so that we can use profanity. Now, I believe that when people use profanity, it's a lack of knowing exactly what they want to say. Because, you see, their mind is in one gear and their mouth is in another gear. I mean, I heard a fellow not long ago, and he was just taking God's name in vain. I mean, just about every breath and every word that came out of his mouth, every other word, he was profaning God. And I said, sir, I'm afraid to be around a person like you. I said, what have you got? Why are you so mad at God? And he said, I'm not mad at God. I said, well, every other word you have vained and used God's name in vain. And he said, well, I don't really mean to do it. Well, now, I don't believe that. I believe out of the abundance of heart, the Bible said, the mouth will speak. And this thing called profanity is sometimes an excuse. You're not telling it like you heard it. It's just down inside of you, and it's got to come out. I've always heard the old-timers said that what's on the inside will manifest itself on the outside. Now, maybe there's some truth in that. Now, I know, but listen, you can change your way of speaking. Now, take the matter of gossip. Now, boy, that's a real good one. You see, I won't tell anybody about another person unless it's good. And boy, you want to bend your ear to this, because this is really good. It was like the preacher one time who told the boy, he said, listen, young man, now you just follow me into the pulpit, you listen to me, and you do exactly what I do and what I say, and you can learn from me. So anyhow, the old preacher went into the pulpit, the people began to doze off, and he saw that he was losing them, and all of a sudden he come up with some real good hot gossip. He said, hey, I got some real good gossip. Boy, when he said that, every eye opened and every ear attuned in his direction, and he said, yeah, I went out with a married woman last night. And boy, the crowd was very intense to hear what the old preacher was saying. He said, yeah, I took my wife out to dinner. Well, he told the young man, he said, now remember that. He said, when your crowd begins to sleep on you and doze on you, he said, just give them some red-hot gossip, and that will really wake him up. Well, he got in a meeting, and things were dead, and things were dreary, and some of them was going to sleep on him. And lo and behold, the young minister said, hey, do you want to hear some real good red-hot gossip? Boy, every eye opened, every ear perked up. He said, yeah, I went out with a married woman last night. And everybody was listening very carefully, and all of a sudden he said, oh, I forgot who it was. So, you see, people are always listening for that gossip. Now, boy, I won't tell anybody about any other person unless it's good. And, boy, you just tune your ear, because this is really good. Busybodies and backbiters and those that gossip, the Bible condemns that, and we ought not do things like that. Then those what we call temper. You see, we've all got a temper. You know, we use that scripture where it says, oh, be angry, but sin not. Well, there is a time we get angry at sin. I stay angry at sin because the way it motivates them and the way that it enslaves people, it really makes me mad too. Because, you see, I blow up like a cyclone. And, you know, I can't blame them for flying off the handle, because sometime I fly off the handle. And I do blow up like a big cyclone. But let me ask you the question, sir. Don't a cyclone do a lot of damage? When you fly off the handle, or when you blow up, and when you act like a cyclone, well, you do a whole lot of damage, you see. It's not just your temper. I mean, you are creating a problem in a situation that is unexcusable. And then let's close with this one right here about vengeance. You remember Archie Bunker who was on the TV program and he's always made the statement, what's wrong with revenge? What's wrong with my revenge? Well, two boys were fighting. And one of them made the statement. He said to the other guy, he said, I wouldn't fought at all, but he said, he started and I had to hit him back. Well, now that's no excuse, because the Bible said if they smote you on the right cheek, then turn to them the left. But the story is today that you are invited to one of the greatest suppers that ever was. And yet today, I mean, even while you're hearing my voice right now, you will make many excuses. I've came down the list here, and I've tried to just kind of pull out some of the excuses that many of us make. But, sir, you're talking about the kingdom of heaven. You have been invited to the greatest supper time of them all. You have been invited by the greatest a person that ever was, and that's God Himself. You are invited to spend eternity with God. And yet all these excuses will take you to hell. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to go to that church because there's a lot of hypocrites down there. Are you going to let one hypocrite cause you to lose your soul? Are you going to say, well, I don't want to go to that church because of this situation or that situation, sir? You don't go to that church because of the situation. You go because you have been invited to Christ. You have been invited to come and give your life to Christ. And right now, I'm inviting you to Christ. I'm inviting you to quit making your excuses. Don't find fault with everyone, because listen, everybody ain't like you think they are. Because you see, once you learn them, you may learn to love them. Quit making excuses. This is Thanksgiving. And if you were invited to a big turkey dinner, mashed potatoes and cranberry sauce on the table and big cat head biscuits, I believe that you would not turn it down. And that's what I'm inviting you today. I'm inviting you to come to Christ. I'm inviting you for that old time salvation. I'm inviting you to a way that will change your life, that will give you peace and comfort. Please don't turn down that invitation.
One day I came to Him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my soul was so dry. He gave me water I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet He made the river. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. I first cried the King of all ages. In His great thirst, He brought water to me. Now there's a river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God, His throne above. And like the river that it dwells up inside me, bringing mercy and a life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet He made the river. He said, I thirst, yet He made the sea. I thirst, by the King of all great thirst, He brought water. said I first ride the king of all ages. In his great purse he brought mercy to me.
Well, that is today's broadcast. I hope that you've enjoyed it. This is a 201 broadcast that we're playing today, and I hope you understand that. We mentioned Thanksgiving and all of that, but anyhow, I have many tapes here that we've played back through the years, and I'm just playing them and trying to use the music and the message and everything. So I hope you enjoyed that today. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast and help me support it. We've been on this broadcast since 85. And we'd kind of hate to give it up, but anyhow, there comes a time when we got to quit. But anyhow, as long as the people helps us and supports us, we will continue right on with the radio ministry. I mentioned Thanksgiving. Well, we know this is not Thanksgiving season. But anyhow, I appreciate you, and I love you. And we're going to do one more song here for you before we leave the hour. And this one says, "Thank you, Lord, for the blessings on me. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but oh, they're so wrong. How my heart is rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love and a fine family. I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. About me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me a loved one and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. And a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Well, I do hope that you understand that this was taped back in 201, and we felt like we need to play it. It's a great sermon on there. I enjoyed preaching about the excuses. I hope you don't have any excuses to make. Hope you get out and go to the house of God. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful this morning for the broadcast. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given me the instrumental problem that we might be able to sing. Martha may be able to help me. And Lord, I might be able to carry the gospel on through message and radio ministry. I appreciate the website. I appreciate everything that everybody's ever done to try to help me to promote the gospel. And I pray for them. I pray for the sick and the shut-in. I pray to somehow or another, God, that you'll undergird them, pick them up, and lift them up above their problem and situation. And we'll stand back and give you praise for it. For everything is done in your holy name, we pray. Amen. Well, neighbor, it has been good to be with you. I hope you understand now. This tape was made in 201. That's been a long time ago. But we've been in the ministry now almost 60 years, and that's a long time. We've been on this radio station since 85, and that's a long time. We've set a record. And I hope we just continue to go right on. When I slip out, I'll slip out into eternity. But listen, don't worry about me. I know where I'm going. I trust today that you have made plans, and truly you found something to believe in, and that something truly is Jesus Christ.
Someone to share.
You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25938.